morning. My name is Al Serhall with Hipple Valley Christian Mission. The video you just saw is it's about our Living Proof child sponsoring program. And if you notice there in the end, that's just a little video clip of one of our mission schools. We have 29 mission schools with more than 20,000 children currently enrolled in these mission schools. That's just one of them. That's the mission school called Shingai. And the kids there, they're singing one of their favorite songs. And I don't know if you can make out the words there, but the chorus says, "Jesus takes me higher, 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 higher." That's why they like it, because they get to jump up and down and say, "Higher, higher, higher." But that really, in a sense, is what Hippo Valley Christian Mission has been doing for 68 years, particularly in the area of children. We put them in mission schools, and we invest in them, and we take them higher, higher, higher. Hippo Valley Christian Mission began in 1956. It was founded by John Pemberton and his wife Marge. John Pemberton was from Gary, Indiana. Beautiful Gary, Indiana. Apparently none of you have ever been to Gary, Indiana. Northwest Indiana. And also founded by Dr. Dennis Pruitt, Denny Pruitt, and his wife Lucy. John Pemberton was a prisoner of war in World War II. A young man, frightened, captured at the Battle of the Bulge in a prison camp, believing he would die. He did what a lot of young men did in that situation. He cried out to God, and he said, "God, if you will get me home, I will serve you the rest of my life." And 6 months later, the war was over, and John came home. And I think a lot of men made those promises. I don't know that they all kept them, but John did. And so he came home, and he married his high school sweetheart, Marge, and they moved from Gary, Indiana, to Grayson, Kentucky, eastern Kentucky, where I live, to enroll in Kentucky Christian College to train for the ministry. Now, John didn't know what he was going to do, where he was going to go. He just knew he made that promise to God, and he needed to go to Bible college and train for the ministry. So while he's there as a student, a non-traditional student, under the newly formed GI Bill, he meets another World War II veteran who came for the same reason. He had promised God, he wasn't a POW, but he promised God that if he got home, he'd serve him. So his name was Denny Pruitt. So John and Denny, they're both, you know, war veterans. They're both non-traditional students under the GI Bill. They go to Bible college, and they meet and become good buddies, lifetime friends. And through a series of divine events that I won't go into, they wound up at the World Mission Fair in Toronto, Canada, and they met a man named Garfield Todd, who was Prime Minister of Rhodesia. Today, Rhodesia is called Zimbabwe. But before Garfield Todd was Prime Minister of Rhodesia, he was a Church of Christ missionary who had gone there from New Zealand. And he went to Toronto, Canada, to the World Mission Fair to recruit somebody to come and take up the mission work there in southern Rhodesia. And the rest is history. The Pembertons moved in 1956 with their family and started this mission, Hippo Valley Christian Mission, in a place called Meshoko. A rural place where there's no schools, there's no medical, no evangelism, nothing. Just thousands and thousands of people. And they started the mission with the simple philosophy of reaching the whole person for Christ, the body, the mind, and the soul. The body through healthcare. Denny Pruitt went on to become Dr. Denny Pruitt. And after finishing his medical training in 58, he came over and built a health clinic there at Meshoko. That health clinic today is a hospital. The Pembertons built a school to teach the children reading and writing and about Jesus. And there in that school, they started the church. The body through healthcare, the mind through schools, the soul through the preaching of the gospel and the church. That simple philosophy has driven this mission now for 68 years. Today, Hippo Valley Christian Mission has 29 mission schools. We currently have over 20,000 children currently enrolled in our mission schools. So these are kids who are not only learning reading, writing, but they're learning about Jesus. And every year we baptize hundreds of young people into Christ through the evangelistic efforts of our mission schools and as well as our Living Proof program. We have dozens and dozens of churches that we've established. About 10 years ago, we started a program called Living Proof. And the Living Proof program is our child sponsoring program. And that's kind of what that video was about, where we go to our mission schools, our primary schools, and we ask our headmasters to give us kids in the mission schools who are bright kids with a great attitude, but they just come from extremely poor families. Now, Zimbabwe is one of the two or three poorest countries in the world. So these are the poorest of the poor. And we take these kids and we match them up with a U.S. sponsor and we call them Living Proof. And we form these Living Proof clubs. The clubs meet twice a week. The kids get a t-shirt like you saw in the video. They get Bible lessons. We have a strong Bible curriculum that they're taught. They memorize scripture. They sing songs. They get a protein drink. They get their t-shirt. They get a Bible. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. They get a new school uniform every year, which absolutely means the world to them to have any. They've never had anything new in their life. Most of them never had shoes in their life. And so we really, really invest in these kids in the Living Proof program. So we've got over 20,000 kids in our mission schools. We've got around 2,000 kids currently enrolled in our Living Proof program. It's a wonderful, wonderful, very personal program. From there, we've got the new Living Proof High School that we opened last year, a year ago, January. And the Living Proof High School is a premier boarding school that we built on 150 acres right in the middle of the country. We call the property Pemberton Station in honor of our founder, John Pemberton, who went to be with the Lord many years ago. And this boarding school is really, it's the talk of the country. It's an amazing thing. You see, in the African culture, boarding schools are for the wealthy. The top 5%. Nobody else can afford a boarding school. Most of the kids can't even afford high school. But in this premier boarding school, we're giving some of these Living Proof kids the opportunity of a lifetime to be educated at such a high level. And then the fourth thing you see there on the right is Central Africa Christian College, where we are training the hundreds who will reach the thousands. Central Africa Christian College was formerly known as Zimbabwe Christian College. And this congregation has been supporting Central Africa Christian College for a number of years. John Pemberton actually founded Central Africa Christian College in 1958. The name changed to Mashoko Christian College. Then it was called Rhodesia Christian College, then Zimbabwe Christian College. Today it's called Central Africa Christian College to better reflect the new vision of the college, of training the hundreds who will reach the thousands. And we're very excited to announce that this last year, for the first time, we've been able to offer an actual 4-year accredited degree in Bible and theology. Folks, there's no other Bible college in all of Africa that is affiliated with our churches, the independent Christian churches and Church of Christ, that can offer a 4-year degree in Bible and theology. We're the only one. And our hope is that by next year, a year from this coming August, we'll be able to offer a second degree in teacher education, Bible and teacher education. So our vision is to train preachers and teachers, not just for Zimbabwe, but for all of sub-Saharan Africa. We're very excited about how we are positioned as a mission. I want to say something about this Living Proof program. We've currently got somewhere around 2,000 kids. We've got 300 more kids that we need to get sponsored. And I wanted to challenge you to consider sponsoring one of these kids. It's $30 a month, folks, $30 a month. And, you know, for 10 years, we kept it at $20 a month. But as you know, 30 is the new 20, right? If you've been to a grocery store, you know how that all works. But it's still a dollar a day, and it means the world to these kids. We take 20 of that $30 every month, and we put it in. It's used to run the program. We have three full-time employees over there. We have a dedicated vehicle. Our mission schools are way out in the bush. I mean, they're 4 hours down some horrible, horrible roads and terrain to get to. So it's very expensive even to get our team out to these schools, at least once a term. We have three people on the ground there. We have 60 patrons that run our Living Proof clubs. We have a full-time person in the U.S. side who runs this Living Proof program. Her name is Rachel. So we use 20 of that $30 to run the program, the Bible curriculum, the T-shirts, the Bibles, the protein drinks, the tutoring camp we give to all seventh graders, preparing them for high school. We have an annual, we call it College Days, where we take all the high school kids in the Living Proof program. We take them to Central Africa Christian College for a week. It's like CIY or something. I think we baptized 40-some kids last year at that event. It's amazing what we do with that $30. 10 of that $30 every month goes into the Living Proof Scholarship Fund so that when your child reaches high school age, we have the money to put them into high school. There's about a 60% dropout rate in Zimbabwe going from primary school to high school because they just can't afford it. Or there's no high school nearby, you know, for them to go to. And so we've got over 600 kids now in high school because of this Living Proof program. So I'm hoping that we'll have 15 or 20 of you before I leave here today. We had several the first service who will sign up to sponsor one of these kids. You'll get their profile. You can communicate with them via email. They don't have computers or even electricity, but they write the letters. Our patrons take a picture of it with their phone, and you'll get like three letters a year from the child you sponsor. And if you sign up today, and only today, you'll receive one of these cool Living Proof T-shirts, just like they had. Now, you may remember from the pictures that they all had the brown ones. Okay, that's what we had for 10 years. We had these brown ones with kind of looked like a Cleveland Browns colors. And we had those for 10 years. And then we hired this new girl, Rachel, and she said, no offense, but you need to get some really cool-looking shirts. So it's the same shirt, but with different colors. So it's the same one. But we've got multiple colors out there, and if you sign up today, you can pick out one of these Living Proof shirts. We want you to have one and tell people all about it. So I'm here today to talk about missions, but I want to challenge this congregation. I want to challenge the leadership to do two things. Number one, those of you in the pews, my challenge to you is to partner with us as we partner with God and sponsor one of these Living Proof children. It's an investment of $30 a month. The second thing is, I'm here, I want to challenge you as a congregation. You've supported Central Africa Christian College for many years. James is on the board of Central Africa Christian College. He's also on the board of Hippo Valley Christian Mission. And I want to challenge you as a congregation to also come on board supporting Hippo Valley Christian Mission. We're not asking you to divide your support. We're asking you to up your support and also support the mission as well. I also want to thank James for bringing me here because he chose a wonderful weekend to bring me here. I got to drive from Eastern Kentucky through the totality, apocalyptic, ecliptical, dark hole, whatever I'm going through. You won't believe what traffic's like around Louisville and all that. It's crazy with all these people. So thanks, James, for bringing me here during the eclectic apocalypse. And I get to drive home and all that. So there's that. I've been serving as executive director of mission now for 11 years. And served on the board of Hippo Valley since the 90s. But I got a letter about 8 years ago. Never gotten a letter like this before. And here's what it said. It said, thanks to Cecil, we are now praying for your mission. Please accept this check for $850. And if we'd be interested in partnering with you in some future endeavor in missions, If you would, just contact us, and we'd like to talk about that. Now, I had never received a letter like that before, but there was a check for $850. And I thought, what in the world is this? So I called Dave Thurman. He's our board chairman. And I said, Dave, it was signed by Joe Pudding, senior minister of the Tomoka Christian Church in Ormond Beach, Florida. So I called Dave Thurman. I said, Dave, have you ever heard of this church, this Tomoka Christian Church in Ormond Beach, Florida? And he said, yeah. He said, that's a big church. They run like 3,000 people. He said, they're a big mission church. I said, really? So you know this Joe Pudding? He said, yeah, he's been the preacher there for like 30 years, big mission guy. I said, well, what do you think he means in this letter when he says, thanks to Cecil, we're now praying for your mission? And Dave said, I don't know. He said, wait. He said, I'll bet he's talking about Cecil the lion. Now, some of you may remember 8 or 9 years ago, there was a big international news story about a dentist from Minnesota who went to Zimbabwe, Africa, and shot a lion named Cecil. Any of you remember that story? First service, they all remembered it because they're old in the first service. But a lot of you remember that story. It was a big deal, right? It was a big story, international. People were flying from Europe to Minnesota so they could picket this guy's dental practice. They were so outraged that he would travel to Zimbabwe, Africa, and kill an old lion named Cecil. So this was a big story. It was on all the, CNN, everything. And so this preacher, Joe Pudding, he used that as a sermon illustration. He put the picture up on the screen of the guy, who shot the lion. And he said, right now, folks, our world, the whole world is just outraged at this dentist who went to Zimbabwe, Africa, and shot a lion. He said, but does anybody care about the children in Zimbabwe? Does anybody care about the people of Zimbabwe, one of the poorest countries in the world? And he makes a good point, doesn't he? That's a good point. And so because of that, he wrote us the letter, and he thought, if I'm going to preach about that, I probably ought to be doing something in Zimbabwe. And so I contacted him, and a month or so later, my wife and I went down to their church in Tomoka in Ormond Beach, Florida, and he brought us up on stage. Now, he wasn't as nice as your preacher, okay? He didn't let me preach. He just gave me 5 minutes, all right? James is letting me preach. I think he's regretting that because I went over first service because I forgot about communion. But that won't happen this service. But he got us up there for 5 minutes. They showed our video. He said, folks, if you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. If you're a first world Christian, you ought to be sponsoring at least one third world child. And I mean, the people hundreds of people signed up to sponsor our kids. We'd never seen anything like that before. My wife and I walked away from that weekend. They had 4 services. We walked away from that weekend just convinced that a church that is just nuts about missions, God is going to bless that church. I mean, everywhere you looked in that church building, everywhere you went, the minute you walked in, there's this giant map of the world and all the missions that they support. And there's video screens in all the corners in the Welcome Center showing people from their church who go on trips to mission. They're just nuts about missions. That church gives over $4 million a year to missions. 30 years ago, when Joe Pudding went there as a young man, he made a promise to God. He said, God, as you provide the resources, we will plant a church in every country of the world. And 2 years ago, they reached that goal. They have planted a church in every country of the world, over 135 or 140 countries. They planted churches. Now, if you saw Joe Pudding, maybe you have, you wouldn't just immediately be, overly impressed. He's not what you think of. He's not your typical type A personality, CEO, mega church pastor, right? He's got a beard. Looks like he could be the barista at Starbucks or something. He's just a great preacher, though. Great preacher, great man of vision. But you wouldn't just think, well, this guy could run General Motors or something, but he had a passion for God's agenda around the world. And we left that weekend just convinced of the simple truth that a great commitment to the Great Commission is what makes a great church. So that's my question, I guess, for you today. Your commitment to the Great Commission. I want to ask you a question. Is God's agenda your agenda? Is God's agenda your agenda? You individually and you as a congregation. Is God's agenda your agenda? Now, we know what God's agenda is, don't we? John 3:16, for God so loved what? What? The world. God loves the world. And when we love the world, when a church says, God, we love the world, we're going to invest in the world, we are going to invest in evangelizing the world, then your agenda is in line with God's agenda, and God is going to bless that. He's going to bless that congregation. He's going to give you more and more and more so that you can keep investing it in his agenda around the world. I'm convinced of that truth. A great commitment to the Great Commission is what makes a great church. A church that doesn't believe in missions, a church that doesn't support missions, is going to become a mission field real quick. But when God's agenda is your agenda, God's going to bless that congregation. So let me give you five reasons today. It won't take long. I promise this won't take real long. But I want to give you five reasons why you ought to be a mission-minded church. Okay? And the first reason that Taylorville Christian Church ought to be a mission-minded church is because Jesus told us to. All right? Jesus, our Lord, told us to. Now, that ought to be enough, right? Jesus said it and we do it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't do what I say? Right? You can't say in one breath, Jesus is my Lord, but then I'm not going to do what you say. Jesus is my Lord, but I don't believe in world evangelism. You can't say that. I think we ought to keep the money at home. We got to take care of our own. You can't say that. You can't say Jesus is your Lord, and I don't believe in world evangelism. Look what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. We'll start with verse 4. But this Acts chapter 1 kind of begins where the Gospels, end. It tells us about Jesus meeting for the last time with his apostles before he ascends to heaven, giving them their marching orders, giving them their final instructions, okay? So in Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus ascends to heaven, he's eating with his apostles. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But, now this is the key, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So that's it. That's the last words Jesus spoke to his apostles. And that's reason enough. That ought to be reason enough. Jesus is Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do what I say. Jesus is Lord. He told us to go. Jerusalem, Judea, Jerusalem, that's right here, Taylorville. Judea, that's the little towns and the county around. Samaria, that's the other side of the tracks, right? That's the people that are maybe different than us. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. And that's Zimbabwe. That's India. That's Central America. That's China. That's his agenda. So we ought to be mission-minded, first and foremost, because Jesus, our Lord, said, go, go. Make my name great around the world. Number two, we ought to be mission-minded, secondly, because people matter. All people matter. All people matter to God, and they ought to matter to us. Red, yellow, black, white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus doesn't favor one particular nationality over another, one particular race. He loves all people. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. Do you know that when Jesus gave these words to his apostles, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when he spoke those words, they estimate that 250 million people lived on the entire planet Earth back then. 2,000 years ago, that's the whole world, 250 million people. Do you know that by the year 1500, so 1,500 years later, the time of the invention of the printing press, the Protestant Reformation, by the year 1500, they estimate 500 million people lived on the entire planet. It took 1,500 years to go from 250 million to 500 million. Do you know, when I was born in 1959, less than 500 years later, 450 years later, that number was now 4 billion people living on planet Earth. Today, there's 8 billion people living on planet Earth. That number has doubled in just one person's lifetime. Now, that'll blow your mind if you think about it. But Jesus loves every one of them. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants them all to come to repentance. We have to be mission-minded because people matter, and they all matter to God. Number three. We ought to be mission-minded because it gives us a real sense of purpose. To our church, sometimes you wonder, you say, oh, we're just a church, we're out in the... Yeah, you're not necessarily. This is a pretty big town, right? Taylorville. But, you know, there's churches that are just out in the middle of a field. Why are we here? But when we can partner with God and his agenda around the world, that really gives us purpose as a congregation. A purpose to be a part of this great work. Paul said we're his ambassadors. We're his ambassadors. A real sense of a purpose. You know, they say that by the year 2060, I mean the Barna Research Group, Wall Street Journal even did a story about this. They say that by the year 2060, that nearly half of the Earth's Christians will be living in sub-Saharan Africa. Now think about that. Now Africa is a big continent. It's five times the size of the United States. There's 1.4 billion people living on the continent of Africa. But they say that by the year 2060, nearly half the Earth's Christians will be living in sub-Saharan Africa. That's where the action is. You know, we plant a church there and it just takes off. It just takes off. We do a VBS, one of our rural churches. We'll have 700 kids at it. They come from out of the bush everywhere. The ground is fertile in sub-Saharan Africa. And I'm convinced it's the next epicenter of Christianity. You know the center of Christianity has always moved, right? Christianity began in Jerusalem, right? On the day of Pentecost. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. Antioch was the center of Christianity for the longest time. Northern Africa, one time, was the epicenter of Christianity. Some of the great theologians, St. Augustine of Hippo and people like that, were from northern Africa, Ethiopia, and and places like that. Europe was the center of Christianity for the longest time. Some of the great thinkers, some of the great 20th century theologians were, from Germany and even England, some of the great, great churches and great preachers, Charles Spurgeon's and people like that, G. Campbell Morgan, were British preachers in these great, great churches that were established. And you go to England today and they're empty. The buildings are still there and they give tours of the building, but there's no one there worshiping. There's nobody getting saved. Because the United States has been the epicenter of Christianity for nearly all of our lifetime. Most of us in this room, we can say that for our lifetime, the United States of America has been the epicenter of Christianity. And that's true. That's true. Just a few years ago, it was still something like 93% of all funding for world missions, world evangelism, was coming from this country. We make up 5% of the Earth's population, but over 90% of the funding for world evangelism has come from the United States. Not the government, but from places like this, churches, people, Christians. I'm convinced that's why God keeps blessing us. But I think it's naive to think, well, we're always going to be the epicenter of Christianity because it's always moved. And they suggest that by the year 2060, that epicenter will be sub-Saharan Africa. But it's exciting to me to think about the fact that we're there. We're there. We're investing in the next great movement of God. We've got the schools. We've got a Bible college where we're training the hundreds who will reach the thousands. You see, when you're involved in God's agenda, it gives us a sense of purpose. I'm here for a reason, for such a time as this. Number four, we have to be a mission-minded congregation. We should be a mission-minded congregation. Number four, because hell is real. Hell is real. Now, we live in interesting times, strange times. A lot of people don't believe in hell, and they don't talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. We're afraid if we talk about it, people will say, you're judgmental. You're a hater. You're self-righteous. You're arrogant. So we just don't talk about hell. And to be honest, I think a lot of Christians don't believe in hell. I think a lot of Christians don't believe in hell. So we don't talk about it. We don't really even believe in it. But do you know who did believe in hell? Jesus believed in hell. That's why he came. That's why he came, because Jesus believed in hell. In fact, if I could say something that just might blow your mind, I will. Do you know that everything we know about hell, we learned from Jesus? Everything we know about hell, we learned from Jesus. We learned about hell from Jesus, because that's why he came. He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. That's why he left heaven. That's why he came to earth. That's why he was born in a barn. That's why he walked hundreds of miles during his earthly ministry. That's why he went to the cross. Jesus was not a victim. He wasn't a martyr at the cross. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I freely give it up. He said, I come to lay down my life to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus absolutely believed in hell. That's why he came. He said, wide is the road that leads to hell, and many are there upon it. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few there be upon it. Jesus came to earth with an apocalyptic urgency to save people from hell. Jesus believed in hell. And folks, we better believe in hell. If we don't believe in hell, there's no reason to even be evangelistic. Hell is real. So we've got to be mission-minded. There was a preacher in Lexington, Kentucky. His name was Wayne Smith. Maybe you've heard that name. He was quite a character, Brother Wayne. And he used to preach in a big church in Lexington, Kentucky. And every week he'd put the title of his sermon out on the marquee. And one week, Wayne Smith put the title of his sermon out there, and the title was, Six People I'd Like to Send to Hell. And people were kind of, raising an eyebrow at that. What in the world is going on with Brother Wayne? Well, church was packed on Sunday because, everybody wanted to find out who these six people were that Brother Wayne wanted to send to hell. And the point of his sermon was, he said, I would like to take these six people and send them to hell for one day. And I think it was, one of them was the governor of Kentucky. He wanted to send to hell. One was the head of the school board in Lexington. Another one was the chairman of the elders at church. And anyway, he had these six people. He said, if I could send these six people to hell just for one day and then bring them back, he said, I am convinced that it will change our state, it will change our community, it will change our schools, it will transform our church if we could just send these six people to hell for one day. Now, I think he's onto something. I think that's a really good point. What would happen? What would happen, James, if this congregation could go to hell for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. We'd be back by, we probably wouldn't beat the Baptists to the restaurants today. But what would happen if we all went to hell for 1 hour and then came back? Do you think we'd be different? Would we be more evangelistic? Would there be more of an urgency for God's agenda? Would there be empty seats next week? Folks, we better believe in hell because Jesus did. All right, let me finish up. Number five, we ought to be mission-minded. It's kind of the opposite, but because we've got the good news, right? Yeah, hell is real, but we got good news, right? Have you heard the four F's of the gospel? There's a Father who loves you. There's forgiveness of all your sins. There's a family that you're a part of. And there's a future in heaven. Isn't that good news? Folks, there are big problems in the world. Big problems. Big problems. There is, clean water. There is sex trafficking. There is illiteracy. There is racism. There is hunger. There's big problems in the world. But if you took all those problems and you added them together, they would not equal the biggest problem facing mankind today. The biggest problem facing mankind today, and always has been, is sin. Sin. That's our biggest problem. Sin. Why? Because everybody's guilty of it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And number two, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. So if the biggest problem we have is sin, the greatest thing we can do with our lives, with our resources, with our church, is to invest in getting lost people saved. We've got the good news. There is forgiveness of all your sins. There is a Father who loves you. There's a family that you become a part of, and there's a future in heaven. And everybody likes good news. All right, last reason. Last reason we ought to be a mission-minded church is because it is the key. It is the key to God's blessing. It really is. I'm convinced of that. Jesus said in Luke 14, when you give a banquet, don't invite the rich and the famous. He said, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. Folks, I'm convinced the key to God's blessing your life, the key to God's blessing your congregation, and maybe even the reason God keeps blessing this country is there's still a faithful remnant of people that are making God's agenda their agenda and investing in mission efforts around the world. So back to that story, my wife and I, we went to this church, Tomoka Christian Church in Florida. He led us up on stage and showed our video, and all these people were signing up to sponsor our kids, you know. And I'd never seen anything like that. And Joe comes walking by. And there's these people signing up. And I said, you know, I'm a preacher, so I know how preachers think, James. I know how preachers think. And I said to Joe, does this bother you? Does this worry you to see all these people signing up to send money, you know, $30 a month to our mission? Because you know how we preachers think. We think, well, if they're going to rob from Peter to pay Paul, you know, they're going to divide their tithe or something. And I said, aren't you concerned at all about this? All these people signing up to sponsor our kids. You know what he said? He said, no. He said, it's all God's money. It's all God's money. And then he said, and besides, we've always got plenty here at Tomoka. You see, a great commitment to the Great Commission is what makes a great church. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray we've been challenged by your word. I pray we've been challenged to make your agenda our agenda. Lord, you love the world so much, you weren't willing that any should perish. And we were all perishing because of sin. But you sent Jesus as a lifeline. You sent Jesus as our hope for forgiveness of sins and part of the family of God, joint heirs with him, and a future in heaven. Lord, help us then to take that agenda and make it ours. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank Al for being with us today and sharing and challenging us. Yeah, well, show him your appreciation. Challenging us as a church. We've had a long commitment to missions in our church, but we want to make that grow. We want to continue to obey God's call to share the message of Jesus with the people around us. Al's going to be at the table in the back if you want to talk to him after the service, ask any questions, sign up to sponsor a child. Also, as always, I'll be in the back if you want to talk to me about how you can follow Jesus, put your faith in him, repent and be baptized. I'd love to talk with you about that as well. Let's stand and we'll continue to worship.